Shalom, Australia. Muslim worshippers began celebrating overnight Wednesday as Israeli security forces began dismantling all security apparatuses that were recently installed at the Temple Mount entrances following the attack near the site that claimed the lives of two police officers. Dozens of elated youngsters poured into the streets in eastern Jerusalem as Muslim residents of the area handed out lollies to children and adults alike. Following the decision to remove the facilities, it was decided that the first early morning prayer service would still be held at the Lion's Gate rather than at the Al-Aqsa Mosque. On Thursday, Israel removed all the additional security steps, including metal detectors, railings and scaffolding for cameras at entrances to the Temple Mount that had been installed following the murder of the two Israeli policemen. Muslim prayer resumed later that day. Tens of thousands of Muslim worshippers returned to the Temple Mount on Friday for prayers, with Israel barring men aged under 50. Dozens of worshippers who could not get access to Al-Aqsa placed their prayer mats at the entrances to the Old City, including at Jaffa Gate, which is an entrance not usually used for access to Al-Aqsa. Despite several low-level clashes in eastern Jerusalem and the West Bank, Friday's prayers ended without incident, due mainly to diligence and restraint by police. A senior Palestinian Authority official yesterday praised Israel for removing security restrictions and also praised the Shin Bet Security Service and the IDF for their handling of the mounting tensions surrounding the Jerusalem holy site and expressed hope that the two sides were on the way to resuming working ties. A Fatah official confirmed the PA has continued to make arrests of Hamas members in the West Bank despite the freeze in cooperation between Israeli and Palestinian security forces. But apart from critical matters, security coordination with Israel has not yet resumed. A vast majority of Israelis oppose the Security Cabinet's decision to remove metal detectors from outside the Temple Mount in the wake of massive protests from Muslim worshippers. Respondents to a poll on Tuesday were asked whether the Security Cabinet capitulated in its decision to remove the metal detectors, with 77% saying yes, 17% saying no, and 6% saying they did not know. Arab language media around the world celebrated the removal of security measures at the Temple Mount and the return of Muslims to pray there, with cartoons mocking Israel's perceived capitulation. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and his wife Sarah visited on Tuesday night the families of Hayel Sitawe, 30, and Kamil Shanan, 22, the two Israeli police officers killed on July the 14th by three Arab-Israeli gunmen at the Temple Mount. Some 3,000 people were at the funerals overnight on Wednesday of Mohammed Ahmed Mohammed Jabirin, 29, Mohammed Hafid Abdul Latif Jabirin, 19, and Mohammed Ahmed Masdal Jabirin, 19, all relatives in the northern city of Al-Fam. The three carried out the attack at the Temple Mount in Jerusalem 2 weeks ago, killing the two Israeli Jewish police officers with weapons they had smuggled onto the holy site. The burial processions included cheers and celebratory chants as attendees vowed to become martyrs for Al-Aqsa. On Tuesday, the High Court of Justice ordered that their remains be returned to their families. Israeli police usually hold on to the bodies of terrorists until the families agree to hold small funerals. The entire Israeli embassy staff returned to Israel from Amman in Jordan on Monday after a violent incident the previous day. The Foreign Ministry on Friday announced that a preliminary probe has been launched into the attack where an Israeli security guard killed two Jordanian nationals, including a teen assailant who was attacking him with a screwdriver. Jordanian authorities had initially sought to interrogate the guard over the incident, while Israel refused to hand him over, citing diplomatic immunity. Only after U.S. intervention did Amman relent, allowing the guard and the rest of the embassy staff to leave Jordan. During Security Cabinet meetings following the incident, Attorney General Avichai Mandelblit told ministers that as a signatory to the Vienna Convention, Israel is required to investigate suspects upon their return from a host country that provided diplomatic immunity for charges against them. The embassy guard, identified only by his first name, Ziv, will likely be investigated on suspicion of manslaughter. Hundreds of Jordanians held a protest near the Israeli embassy in Amman on Friday, calling on the government to shut it down and cancel the 1994 peace treaty. Hundreds of people gathered in a synagogue in El Ad in the center of the country on Thursday for the circumcision ceremony of the son of Shmuel and Chen Salomon, three of whose family members were murdered in a terror attack in the Chalamish settlement last Friday night while celebrating the new baby's birth. Former Chief Rabbi Yisrael Meir Lau conducted the brit and announced the boy's name as Ari Yosef Salomon. Through intermittent sobs, the new father Shmuel explained that while they had decided on the name Ari before the attack, it had gained new meaning after the family members fought like lions against the Palestinian last Shabbat Eve. The Hebrew word for lion originates from the same root as the boy's name. The boy's middle name was chosen to honor the baby's grandfather, Yosef Salomon, killed in the attack. On the same day, Ibtisan al-Abid was charged with incitement to violence after praising her son's deadly stabbing spree. Last Friday, 19-year-old Omar al-Abid broke into the Chalamish settlement, killing the three members of the Salomon family and seriously injuring the grandmother. Abdullah Takata, 24, from Bethlehem, was shot dead at the Gush Etzion junction in the West Bank on Friday as he wielded a knife and rushed at IDF soldiers. He was prevented from injuring anyone. The closed military zone order that was placed on the Machpelah house in Hebron on Wednesday morning did little to dampen the enthusiasm of the 15 settler families squatting in the contested building. Roughly 120 settlers, largely from elsewhere in Hebron and the Kiryat Arba settlement, moved into the building on Tuesday evening. There was no coordination with area security forces, and the IDF only learnt about the move after the fact. The group's spokesman, Shlomo Levinger, said the decision to move into the structure was made in response to the vote earlier this month by UNESCO to list Hebron's Old City as an endangered Palestinian World Heritage Site. He said that moving Jewish settlers into more Hebron homes will remind the UN committee who is truly sovereign in the city. Levinger also insisted that the Machpelah house had been lawfully purchased by the Israelis from a Palestinian owner, despite the latter's claim to the contrary. The army appointed Brigadier General Ariella Lazarevich as the military's chief financial advisor on Thursday, making her the first woman to hold that position and one of four women to serve on the IDF general staff. She leaves the position as the head of the Ground Forces Budget Department. Ruth Yaron, who served as IDF spokesperson from 2002 to 2005, holds the distinction of being the first woman on the general staff. She was immediately followed by now Likud MK Nuri Regev, who also served as IDF spokesperson from 2005 to 2007. In 2011, Orna Barzilai was named the IDF's first major general. She led the Army's Manpower Directorate until 2014. The Israeli Antiquities Authority announced on Wednesday that evidence of the destruction of the First Temple-era Jerusalem in 586 BCE at the hands of the Babylonians has recently been unearthed in the city of David, adjacent to the Old City. They have uncovered a row of structures beyond the city wall that would have constituted the eastern border of the city. Dating back more than 2,500 years, the findings include charred wood, grape seeds, pottery, fish scales and bones, and unique rare artifacts. Archaeologists said the findings depict the affluence and character of Jerusalem, capital of the Judean kingdom. This is Peter Jones-Pelach reporting for SBS Radio from Jerusalem on the week of Tisha B'Av, the anniversary of the destruction of both the First and Second Temples.